Today we're going to look at John chapter 21. John chapter 21. Last week I spoke on the resurrection of Jesus and what that meant for us. I was blessed actually in preparation for that message, really considering the resurrection. We know Jesus died, He rose again, He appeared with His disciples. Look at John 21. It says, "Later Jesus appeared again to the disciples besides the Sea of Galilee." This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there. Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Verse 3. Simon Peter said, what? Somebody tell me what he said? "I'm going fishing." Man after my own heart, right? "I'm going fishing," he says. "Well, we'll come too," they all said. So they went out in a boat, but they caught nothing all night. It's interesting, when you look at this story, they said they're just going to go fishing. Well, why do you think they decided to go fishing? Were they hungry? What's that? That's all they've known, right? It wasn't the first time they went fishing, they were fishermen. See, the interesting thing is Jesus died on a cross, rose again, appeared to them. I'm thinking in their mind, well, it's done. We spent our 3 years with Jesus. He did miracles. He died, went back to heaven. Let's go back fishing. You know? They went back to what they knew. That the resurrection of Jesus happened, and they thought that, you know, Jesus isn't here anymore. You know? They didn't realize that God had plans for them after the resurrection. That God still had plans. Verse 4, "At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who He was. He called out, 'Fellows, have you caught any fish?' 'No,' they replied. Then He said, 'Throw out your net on the right side of the boat, and you'll get some.'" Sounds familiar? We know Jesus did that when He was with them, huh? In fact, when He first met them. Earlier in Scripture. So anyway, so they did. And they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water and headed for shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from the shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire, and some bread. "Bring some of the fish you've just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard, dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said. None of the disciples dared to ask, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time that Jesus had appeared to His disciples since He was raised from the dead. I love this story. Jesus cooked breakfast. Amen? This, you know, I say that a lot, but that's proof text that we get to eat in heaven. And maybe Debbie will be cooking for us, I don't know. But that's just a neat side note. That Jesus cooked them breakfast. It's interesting, He cooked it. He already had the fish going before they even caught fish. He said, "Bring some," but Jesus already had a head start and was cooking up breakfast. You can see that the disciples went back to work doing what they did before. The 3 points I want to pull out today begins with that. They thought their time with Jesus was over. They thought their time with Jesus was over. He died. He rose from the dead. It's over. We love the Lord. But now we go back to work. And I thought how similar it can be in our lives as Christians if we believe that the moment we receive Jesus as our Savior, our work with God's kind of over, you know? Like we did that. We checked that off. Where the work of Jesus in our life is over the moment we receive Jesus as our Savior. Listen, that's not true, is it? That's not true. In fact, what I like about this story is the miraculous happened after Jesus rose from the dead. In the disciples' life, the Lord Jesus used the disciples to be part of a miracle again after He ascended. The same way that He did previous before His death. In fact, as I was mentioning earlier, they said, Jesus, we haven't caught any fish. We're not going to catch any. We've been out all night. He says, take the boat out further. Throw it on the right side of the boat. All right, Peter said, if you... All right, whatever. Okay, we'll appease you. Threw the net over, and what happened? They brought in so much, they had to call another boat, and they had so many fish, it was crazy. Peter knelt before Jesus and committed his life to him. Because this was just a big miracle. It's cool that the very same miracle Jesus did to Peter again. After what? After Peter denied Christ. Right? See, Peter went through a hard time, didn't he? In the garden, if you know the story, Jesus said, you're going to deny me three times, and he did. He was punked down, if you will, by some people in the camp. A young girl at one point. You're one of Jesus' disciples, aren't you? No, he said, no. Then later on they say, your language even gives you away. Your accent and how you talk. And then Peter does what? He curses to show that his speech is different. And then Jesus, of course, died and rose again. How do you think Peter's feeling inside? Feeling pretty low, right? Have you ever denied Christ? Now, obviously, not in the way that Peter did as he was dying. But have you ever done something that you just felt so shameful to the Lord? That you've made a commitment, God, I will do X, Y, and Z for you, and you can't even do X. And we fall short. How neat that Jesus comes back to Peter and works in his life and reveals himself in a special way that he did earlier. That's neat, right? Again, as Peter was thinking, I'm going to go back to work. We serve Jesus. I denied him. He's back. Let's go fishing. Jesus wasn't done. He wasn't done. In the same way in our lives, after we receive Christ, God isn't done working in your heart. I think salvation is just the beginning. It's just the beginning of our relationship with God. It's just the start of a vital time that we have with the Lord. And the second thing, Jesus did the miraculous, as I said. He wasn't limited to miracles before he died. He did the miraculous after and used the disciples in the midst of the miraculous. See, they didn't realize this yet, but the book of Acts was coming. It was coming soon. Jesus would die and be rose again and ascended to the heaven, and the Holy Spirit would come. They would be filled with the Spirit and change the world. Peter had no idea he was going to preach the first message on the day of Pentecost. And 3,000 people were going to get saved, and the church was going to start. He was just going fishing. He was going back to work, the job that he quit. Listen, God has big plans for our lives as well. And it's not just live and let people know that Jesus is real, although that's true. But I think it involves the supernatural working of God. It involves the miraculous working of God. Jesus did not leave the disciples alone. And how do we apply that today? Listen, he's not going to leave us alone as a church. He's called us to go share, as we sang. But listen, the miraculous still happens. All through the book of Acts, people were healed just like they were when Jesus touched them. Because you pray in Christ's name. People were set free. That still happens today. People are still healed. People are still filled with God's Spirit. People are still set free. People who are possessed are set free. You know, those things happen. Alcoholics are set free. Crack addicts are set free. If you remember a couple weeks ago, I mentioned something about Teen Challenge. And driving in my car, I heard a commercial for Teen Challenge a couple days later and thought, how neat. A guy began with his testimony on how the Lord delivered him from meth. He was a meth addict and was talking about how his life looked nothing like a drug addict, as we would think that you're just lazy and you sit around and not do anything. He worked. He worked all the time. He said he never slept. He was doing really well with his job. It was giving him energy. And you would never have thought he was a drug addict. You would have thought he was an awesome person. And then one day his life crashed. And Jesus delivered him and set him free. And they said, if you need deliverance, call Teen Challenge or go to teenchallengephiladelphia.com. And thought, how awesome is that? Listen, Jesus is still alive, still working today, still doing miracles, right? Well, like I said, Jesus was already cooking fish, wasn't he? Where did he get the fish? I don't know, but did he need the disciples to bring the net to the shore to have breakfast? No, we read it. He already had some on the grill. Jesus could have said, fishies, come up. They all jumped up on the beach and cooked them like he really could. But he let the disciples participate in what he wanted to do. Right? Do you see that? God wants to let us participate in the miraculous, in what he wants to do to reach the world, to reach our communities, to reach our family members. God wants to use us. That's exciting. I don't know about you, but I find it very exciting. Jesus still does miracles today, and he wants to use us in the midst of them. How awesome is that? Lastly, Peter was so passionate for the Lord. What did he do? Remember, like I said, this is the guy who denied Christ, saw Jesus again. What did he do when he knew it was Jesus on the shore and he was still in the boat? He jumped out of the boat. He swam to shore. They were 100 yards out. He swam to shore. Did anybody else do that? Nope. They were probably complaining. Way to go, Peter. Let us pull the net in and row to shore. Good job, buddy. But listen, his passion for the Lord was huge. Do you see that? Why? Why did he do that? See, I think that those who have been forgiven much, they just can't help but love on Jesus. You know? Because he loved us in the midst of our sins. If Jesus has done a lot for us, we can't help but be passionate for him. Right? Peter didn't care. He didn't care what other people thought. That's Jesus. I'm gone. Didn't say, can you guys row the boat in? He's just, I got to go see Jesus now. I can't wait 5 or 10 minutes. We got to go see him now. I love the passion of Peter in this story. I love it. And Peter was used greatly by God. We know that later on in this chapter, if you read it when you go home, Jesus restores Peter. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus restores him 3 times. He says, Peter, do you love me? Peter says, yes, Lord, I do. As they're eating breakfast, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. 3 times Jesus restores him and basically makes it okay again. And talking with Peter, just, it's okay, Peter. It's okay. Just work for me. Do my work. Feed my people. Isn't that awesome? I think those who have a passion for God really change the world. I really do. Peter had a passion for Jesus. We see that he jumped, he ran. He couldn't wait to see him. He thought it was all done and he wasn't going to be the preacher guy. He's just the fisherman. And yet, that's exactly who God used to change the world. If you're here today and you think, well, God can't use me. I don't have the education. I don't have the faith. I don't have this. I don't have that. Did Peter? He was a fisherman. We know in the book of Acts, one of the things they said was, we know these men are from God because they've never been to school. They're untrained fishermen. You know? That was a sign that God used to make the wise people look foolish. If you're here today and you think God can't use you, God can use you and He wants to use you. He wants to. If you're here and you think my track record has been so bad in life, I can't be used of God. Peter was used by God, big time. To everyone who has been forgiven much, you love much and you serve much. And God wants to use you to do the miraculous in this world. He still does that. After his resurrection, Jesus is still doing the same thing he did, but he uses us in the world. Isn't that good? I've been reading a book. I'll probably, after I ingest it and internalize it, I'll probably share some thoughts from it. But some things from Watchman Nee. He's a Chinese theologian. Incredible, incredible things. And he says, we depend on Jesus for our salvation, right? Would we say that? There's nothing we can do to come to God. That we depend on Christ alone. And he says this, that in our walk with God, after we get saved, we need to continue to trust in God for our sanctification, for our learning how to be right with God. And here's his thought. He said that after we get saved, we try and do everything on our own. that we realize that we need Jesus so we can get right with God. But after we get saved, we try and do our best to beat ourselves up so we can serve God. And he says, that's ridiculous. That Jesus died for our forgiveness, but he also died for our ability to live for him as well. The Bible says that we have been crucified with Christ on the cross. And I thought, how neat that our journey with Christ doesn't stop at salvation. In fact, that's just the opening of the doorway. And as we go, we continue to grow in him. And he continues to work in us because he's not done with us yet. He's not done with us yet. We don't rely on our own selves to be good enough for God. We trust in Christ even after we've been saved for 50 years. We still trust in God. Because our righteousness, the best we can do is like filthy rags. We come to God. God, forgive me. Help me. I trust in you. If you feel like you're not good enough for God, you're not. I'm not. None of us are. It's the blood of Christ that makes us right with him. And just like God used Peter, he wants to use you to do the miraculous in this world. Even on a rainy day like this, God still wants to use you. He's not done with you. My question is, do you know Jesus? Do you know him today? Do we know him? Is he your friend? Peter knew Jesus. Do you know him today? Do you know him?
The Bible says, my king is the king of the Jews. He's the king of Israel. He's the king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. Yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him. And you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. How
Hallelujah. Do you know Him? Amen? Amen. This is the one who we serve. We need to get a bigger picture of who Jesus is. Listen, He has big plans for your life. He has huge plans. Jesus is bigger than the guy who just forgives you of your sins. He is that, and that's awesome. But He's not done with you yet. He's not done with you yet. You can't describe the plans for your life. The blessings He wants to give you. The peace He wants to give you. The hope He wants to give you. The joy He wants to give you. The indescribable feeling of knowing that you're at God's place in your life at just the right time, doing His work in just the right way. Listen, God's not done. And He wants to do the miraculous through you. Do you know Him? My prayer is that you would, in a deep way. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you, God, today. We give you praise. Lord, I thank you, God, that your plans are so big that we even have problems putting them into words. Lord, you're truly indescribable. But I thank you, God, that you care about more people than we could even imagine. You love more people than we could even imagine. You love our own families more than we can even love them, God. You care more about our finances, God, and our things in our lives more than we even care about them. And yet you still have big dreams for us. Even though you see our failures and faults more than we see them, you still have big dreams and want to use us, God. Dream over us big dreams, Lord. As a church, dream over us your God-sized dreams. As individuals, God, dream over us. Let us catch a glimpse of what you want us to do. We love you. It is awesome serving you. It is awesome serving you. Thank you. We love you. Be praised in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen. God is good.